The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. How are you taking us in? I am grateful. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number nine, back in the fold. So much more than a producer. Still to come this hour, Mike Somich. Mike Somich did not correctly identify his flight time this morning, so he will be with us via the telephone, I'm told.
The old telephone.
Not here at the desk.
Joining us straight from Harry Reid International Airport.
Harry Reid International Airport. Yeah. Oh, from the airport here?
He's going to be from the airport, yeah.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. B. Miller. 400 meters is a sprint, 800 meters, I don't know if if that's considered a sprint, he said. So 1,500, definitely not. The numbers, guys. Today, are we going to see the first edition of Guessing the Lines preseason week two? Sorry, Kelly, he says. No, we're not. By the way, Guessing Lines doesn't start till week two of the NFL season. And Kelly, by the way, I think you're going to be part of it. In the same way that you were last year.
Gotcha.
Yeah. NCI95 Gambler, can you explain what happened to our girl Iga at the Olympics, or did I miss that segment? You missed that segment. She got beat. Danielle Collins was just a horrific human being after Iga beat her, and then Zhang Xinwen, the eventual winner, just crushed Iga. Iga was up 4-love in the second set, and Zhang Xinwen came back. Iga with the nerves. Just call me Skip. Don't forget Tennis in the Land in Cleveland and the WTA between Cincinnati and the U.S. Open. Yes, you are correct. But that is a 250 tournament as opposed to Cincinnati, which is 1,000. But you're right. There is a 250 tournament in Cleveland the week before. And then BP, futures_bet. The reason I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is worth a bet for Rookie of the Year offensive is because the Arizona defense is really bad and their games might be 60 minutes of garbage time. Murray has to stay healthy, of course. I like the reasoning.
Yeah.
I like the
reasoning. No, it makes sense. I think I'd rather bet him for comeback player of the year than Murray.
Murray, right, yeah. As opposed to Marvin Harrison Jr. offensive rookie year. That's a good way. August most wins. We'll save that for later. Or you want to do it now?
I know. It's
all right, let's do it right now, real quick, before we get to Michael Montesano.
So much.
That's a good point. I wish I had brought that up. Michael Montesano joining us momentarily to talk college football. August most wins update. This our wild ride of awesomeness might be over. Finally, August might be my kryptonite. I got the Mets. The Mets just got beat in a 3-game series against the Mariners by a combined score of 22-1.
Yikes. Yeah.
Is that good?
Saw that game last night. Ooh.
Right now, August most wins update. Padres and the Cubs, my two season win total over teams, 7-2, both of them at the top. Giants, 7-3. Let's go, Giants. Aren't they adorable? Just sticking in there.
Aren't they adorable? That's a good word.
Brewers, Mariners, Astros, Dodgers, all 6-3, and the Twinkies are 6-4. A whole bunch of other randoms in there as well. So early, but if our Mets bet is going to do anything, the Mets are 4-6, I believe. They got to start now that they're going back home. They got to start. Rolling.
Yeah, Gil always with a good attitude about this, but yeah. This is the first time I remember ever being sent the information for this graphic.
And I'm not in it.
And the team's not on there.
Yeah, the team's not on there. That's right. First time all year. Yeah, we went 4+ months. Had
That's
a good
right.
run. We'll see. Let's go, Mets. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some college football with 2020 Circa Booby Prize winner, Michael Montesano, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, who's kind enough to join us. Mike, where are you joining us from, by the way?
Rochester, upstate New York.
There you go. All right, let's get into this. Without any small talk, because you got tons of bets in college football, let us begin in the 18-team Big Ten, where a lot of teams with this new world that we're in had ridiculously tough schedules. A lot of teams had ridiculously sort of easy schedules, got the best of it. And there's some teams in the middle. Illinois kind of qualifies somewhere in the middle. Their season win total is 5.5, and you went which way?
I took the Illini under 5.5. Brett Bielema's in his fourth year as coach there. He's been pretty average, 18-19 record, including 5-7 last year. They're 58th in returning production, according to my numbers. I ended the rating last year at just about as an average team, 0.5 above an average team. Going into this year, I have them 2.5 points below an average team. They have a tough schedule. The schedule of teams that they play are power rated at 7.3 points above an average team. And the projected lines in their games, they are underdogs at 9.6, and all their, and that's just Division I games. That is not including FCS, their FCS opponent, Eastern Illinois. So I took them under 5.5. I have projected them at 4.5 wins for the year.
Yeah, -125 on the other under 5.5 season wins for Illinois at DraftKings. And you're right. Now that I'm looking at the schedule. Michigan at Oregon at Penn State. Let's say those are losses. Let's give them Central Michigan and Eastern Illinois. But then you got to cobble together four wins against Kansas, Michigan State, Minnesota, Nebraska, which is at Nebraska, at Northwestern, Purdue, at Rutgers. I'm with you. I would lean on
that. Yeah, they do have seven. They do have seven home games. So but there's four coin flip games in there, two at home and two on the road. So I just don't think they have enough offensive production to get over that 5.5.
All right, let's go to Rice. Rice, last year, they won six games. None of them, though, against an FBS team that had more than four wins. But it's interesting because in a day and age when, you know, group of five programs protect themselves from, other teams looking to grab their top players, Rice kind of intact here. How do you see Rice at 6.5?
Yeah, they are kind of intact. They have, according to my ranking, six in returning production. They have head coach Mike Blumgren is in his seventh season. And they did win six games last year. With them set at 6.5. I have them improved from last year from -4.3 to -2.6, meaning they're 2.6 points below an average team. But they have a really good schedule. They're playing teams with an average of 6.1 points below an average schedule. And if you take their lines and add them all up, they are favored in 3.2 points, according to my numbers. With Mike Blumgren, with some continuity there, and with the returning production and their schedule, I'm taking them over 6.5, and I have them at circa -115.
All right, and circa -115, and it's a good note, shop around here, right? Because DraftKings is -150 to the over, circa -115.
Big time.
Big difference. All right, A&M, Texas A&M. Trivia question. How many double-digit win seasons has A&M had since 1998? Any guesses? The answer is one. Now, they don't have to go double-digit here. They can get 9 and still go over. They're at 8.5. And as far as SEC schedules are concerned, Michael, I think you agree with this. It's about as easy as they come.
It really is. I'm just glancing at their schedule right now, and I think they're going to be underdogs in one of the games, and that's at home against Texas. They do have a coin flip game, the first game of the year, the big one against Notre Dame, but they were fourth in the transfer portal ratings. They return 18 starters, and they do have a legitimate Heisman Trophy contender in Connor Wigman. And I think they have one of the best coaches, underrated coaches in the country, Mike Elko, coming from Duke, where he went 16-9 at Duke. And we all know it's not easy to win football games at Duke. I have them projected as 15th in my preseason power ratings. And with that schedule, I'm taking A&M over 8.5, and they're at DK, they're -120.
Yeah, and what I mean by that schedule being as easy as it gets. So you take like Notre Dame, LSU, Missouri, and Texas. Tough games, right? But they're all at home. They're all at College Station. Florida, Arkansas, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Auburn, they're all away from home. So it kind of, you get the easier in quotes, away, and the tougher ones at home. So it kind of works out, at least on paper, right, in your favor. And also, by the way, of course, no Georgia, no Alabama, no Oklahoma, no Ole Miss, no Tennessee, no Kentucky. All right, Iowa State. Let's go to the Big 12. Iowa State. Matt Campbell, for all the incoming he's taken, six winning seasons in the last 7 years, season win total set at 7.5.
Yeah, this is you just said Matt Campbell, so I have some apprehension about it. But I did take them over 7.5, and the reason being, and I also took them to win the Big 12 at +950. They have a projected power rating is a 14.9 points above an average team. They are the number one returning production team in the country. 19 returning starters back, including quarterback Rocco Becht. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Mm-hmm. And he really came on strong at the end of last year. They do have continuity at the head coaching position. I have them favored in 9 games with basically 3 toss-up games after that. A small dog at Iowa and Utah, slight favorite at home versus Kansas State, according to my numbers. So I'm going to take them over 7.5. I have them winning 8.6 wins. And I really do like the shot at plus 950 to win the Big 12. There is so with only 4.8 points separating the 6 top teams. There's some, there's a little bit of variance right there. So I like that. And if they get in the final, the championship game at plus 950, I think you can hedge a little bit back if you need to, because I think the line will be close whoever they play.
By the way, shop around again here. DraftKings, Iowa State to win the Big 12, plus 950. At Circa, it is only plus 650. So the DraftKings number is better there. Utah plus 320, K-State plus 380, and then Iowa State, the third short shot. The sixth, because Oklahoma State plus 750, UCF and Kansas both 9-1 and plus 950. So they're right there tied for fifth in the Big 12. Want to squeeze Akron in here real quick, under 3.5?
Yeah. We won't go too in-depth of Akron.
Let's hold up on Akron because we're hitting it. But we're going to do Akron. He's got to play on Akron in the MAC. Akron, by the way, season win total set at 3.5 wins. We also have plays for Matt on Arizona State in terms of conference wins, which is set at 2.5. They now in the Big 12. Got to always remind yourself where these teams are now or which conferences. Miami of Ohio, he's got a thought on them in the MAC. He's got a thought on Alabama. He's got a thought on Louisiana in the Sun Belt. All of that on the other side. More college football from Michael Montesano. It's a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network. Coming back.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Michael Montesano giving us college football fever. Don't forget our 2024 VSiN College Football Betting Guide, your ultimate resource for the upcoming college football season. That includes previews of all 134 teams, a preseason top 25, power ratings, proven betting systems, and more. Sign up today. Receive both the college football and NFL betting guide, plus full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, exclusive data like our betting splits as well. See all of our subscription options at VSiN.com/subscribe and pick the plan that works best for you. That's VSIN/subscribe. Michael Montesano, kind enough to join us once again for more college football plays. Let us go, as teased prior to the break, with Akron in the MAC. Boy, I'm looking at this schedule. They got Ohio State, Rutgers, and South Carolina over the first 4 weeks. 5 of their first 7 games are on the road. That's not good. But let's play devil's advocate here. By the way, their season win total set at 3.5 for the Zips of Akron. 5 games last year decided by a touchdown or less. The team leaves Akron only once for over a month in the middle of the season. So you figure if they're going to get any wins, it's right in that stretch. 3.5, though. Can they get to 4 wins?
No, they can't. They, according to my numbers, they have one of the worst offenses in the country. They got destroyed in the portal. Ranked 112 in returning production with only 9 returning starters. I have them favored in 1 game versus FCS Colgate and 2 short dogs at home versus Buffalo and at Kent State. Other than that, it looks like a bloodbath to me. They're going to need some upsets in order to go over that 3.5 mark. Joe Moorhead, the head coach there, has not gone well for him his first 2 years with a 4-20 record. I have them rated 23 points below an average team, where last year at the end of my ratings were 19.7 points below an average team. So it's just they're not getting any better. And I got them under 3.5 minus 125 at DraftKings.
All right. Special numbers game investigation reveals that the Arizona State Sun Devils are in the Big 12. Michael, you should probably know this. There are markets about conference wins set at 2.5 for Arizona State. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I when I was looking at this, I jumped right on it just because even though they are improved a little bit, they didn't end the season well last year. They were 5.1 points below an average team, but I have them improved to 2.3 points, but like you said, to 2.3 points below an average team. They do return 10 starters. Redshirt Frosh quarterback Sam Levett is scheduled to start. He's a transfer from Michigan State. They were 2-7 last year in Pac-12 conference play. And now with this move to the Big 12, they're going to be facing a much tougher schedule, in my opinion. The defense is not very good. I have them projected to be worse than last year. I'm going to take under 2.5. If you look at their schedule, I see one coin flip game at home against BYU. Other than that, it looks brutal for them.
Looking at the same thing. So at Kansas State, at Oklahoma State, at Texas Tech and Utah. Let's say those are all losses. Let's give them BYU just for giggles, right? Then you got to come up with two more between at Arizona, home Kansas, and UCF. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. All right, let's go back to the MAC. How about to win the MAC? Who you got?
Yeah, to win the MAC, they are the favorite. And they're a favorite for a reason. And this, you got to shop around as you've been alluding to in the show. Miami of Ohio plus 375 to win the MAC, and that's at Circa. I have them 5 points better than the second best teams in Northern Illinois and Toledo. They are the most talented team in the MAC. And they're 58th in returning production. They went 11-3 last year. They have one of the best coaches in the MAC. And they did upset Toledo in the MAC championship game. I just don't see any other team competing. Maybe Toledo, but Toledo's lost a lot from last year. I've been hearing some Bowling Green, some maybe a little Western Michigan. I'm just going to go with the favorite here, and it's a nice number at plus 375 for the most talented team in the MAC conference.
Yeah, and again, we talk about the shopping plus 375 at Circa, only plus 250 at DraftKings. So Circa with the far better number on Miami of Ohio to win the MAC. A team that, by the way, I think 11-3 last year, and Gabbert got hurt midway through the season. All right, Sun Belt. You're getting a little more frisky in the Sun Belt than you did in the MAC. Who do you like to win the Sun Belt?
Yeah, a little more frisky. I'm going to take Louisiana plus 675 to win the Sun Belt at Circa. They do have some starting to get some continuity with their head coach. I apologize if I don't pronounce his name. Desormo? I can't pronounce his
Desormo.
Last name.
Yep.
Yes, he's been there 3 years. They're 21st in returning production, including 15 returning starters. They have 3 toss-up games in their conference, at home versus App State and road games at Coastal Carolina and Texas State. I think they're pretty talented, and if they can just get to the final, the championship game, you might be able to have a good hedge on the other side. So I'm going to take a little bit of more of a long shot here, which I have them as the third best team in the Sun Belt Conference behind App State. And they're at App State and James Madison, but those two are on the other side. So I'm gonna jump on Louisiana at plus 675 to win the Sun Belt.
Yeah, App State and Texas State are shorter shots in the market, but again, with the shopping, Circa for Louisiana for the Raging Cajuns plus 675, DraftKings only 6-1. So Circa currently with a better number on Louisiana win the Sun Belt. Alabama, post Nick Saban here with Kalen DeBoer. Kalen DeBoer, who with his 3 NAIA seasons at Sioux Falls, with his 1 full season at Fresno, with his 2 seasons at Washington, combined record 104-12 when you add up everything in his 8.5 years as a head coach, even before that. It's pretty good. You got him to make the college football playoff? You're making that bet on them?
Yeah, to make the college football playoff, I believe it even money. I have them projected at 10.1 wins. We all know their recruiting that Saban's done over the years. They're bringing in a head coach with a proven track record and knows how to get quarterbacks to play at a high level. Look what he did with Michael Penix Jr. And Jalen Milroe kind of falls into that category. With the development of Milroe and all their skilled players, their schedule is favorable. I have them as an average of favored by 16.5 points. versus FBS teams. They do have an FCS opponent in Mercer. So if they get to that 10-win mark or possibly get to the SEC championship game, even if they do lose with 10 wins, I don't see how the committee is going to keep them out.
Yeah. You just look up their schedule. Like, are there any sure absolute losses? Probably not with Alabama. Probably not.
Not absolute losses. Yeah. Georgia's the toss-up, and obviously, maybe LSU at LSU is a toss-up.
Oh, there's definitely some 50-50s. There's just no absolutes. Yeah. All right, let's talk Heisman in our final couple minutes here. You have one short-ish shot, and then you took a couple long shots. Let's talk with the more sort of conventional play.
Yeah, I have Dylan Gabriel. I took him about a month ago offshore at 11-1 to win the Heisman. I just, they have skilled players everywhere. They are a top team. And when you're looking for a Heisman Trophy winner, that, you know, normally has to come from a top team. I know Jalen Downs didn't get to the Final Four last year, but you know, his numbers were just off the charts. But Dylan has been fantastic. I think this is his third team he's been on in 8 years or 9, 10 years he's played college football. So he's fantastic, and he should put up a lot of numbers, and they're going to win 11 in games, maybe even go undefeated, and that'll help him out.
Okay, now let's go to the long shots. You paired a couple Ohio State running backs together. When you got them, Quinshon Judkins, 100-1. Travion Henderson, also 100-1. Now, a lot of folks familiar with Henderson here. What was your thinking on betting both?
Well, my thinking is they're going to run the ball a little bit more with Chip Kelly as their new offensive coordinator. If you look at over the years, he does like to run a higher percentage of plays than throw the ball. And now that he's got full reins as offensive coordinator, and Ryan Day is kind of staying out of it, they have the two top running backs in the country. So I took them both at 100-1, meaning if one gets hurt, they're going to rely on the other one a little bit more. They're both explosive. Judkins coming from Ole Miss, the last 2 years has the most rushing yards in the country. And Travion Henderson has been absolutely fantastic. He's got to stay healthy. He's a bruising running back. So with a team that's going to go 11-1 or 12-0 and winning a lot of these games in the second half, they're going to rely on the run. They could pad some stats, and I'm not sold on Will Howard. I know he's 15-1, even though they have tremendous wide receivers. So I thought 100-1 on both those guys was worth a look.
These are the only ones that we mentioned that where the prices are no longer what they were. So I want to ask you, Dylan Gabriel's plus 750 at DraftKings. Would you still play him at that number?
I would, because I expect him to be 3-1 or 4-1 by the end of the season.
Judkins 80-1 at Circa, Henderson 80-1 at DraftKings. Would you still play those?
I would 80-1. Yeah. I would.
Okay. I ran the Judkins Henderson thing up the Felica flagpole. He can get behind Henderson. Judkins not so much. That was his take. Michael, thank you so much. That was awesome. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Michael Montesano on college football. Mike Somich next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the Day, Barcanada, the barrage, for those listening in Spanish. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Steve Fezzik live texting the show, as always. Always appreciate that from the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest. Stevie obsessed with these week two preseason overs that he's playing.
Ooh.
He went back to last year, and he said there were four low games. 19, 26, 32, and 31. That was the final point totals in those four low games. Then there was a 36, 36, 38, and 39. 8 of 16 went 40 or higher. So with every total this year coming up into week two of the preseason between 32 to 37 across the board, he says they're too low considering the kickoff should add 1.5 points. Got that?
Got it. I'm trying to figure out which ones he's betting over. Ooh,
everything. He bet everything over, he said.
Every game?
I believe that's what he said. Yes. He says, that's me moving everything over.
Round robin parlay?
I don't think Stevie would appreciate that.
These all are ticking up, man.
Nothing makes his head explode more than parlays. But I just think that, again, let me repeat his reasoning. Four low-scoring games in week two of preseason last year. Four middling between, 36, 36, 38, and 39. Half of them went 40 or higher. Totals are between, what is it, between 32 and 37 across the board in week two? Is that right?
Yeah, there's, I'm going to guess because of Mr. Fezzik, a few have ticked over that.
Yes, and so he went crazy. He went over all the way. And again, part of that's the kickoff, which he says should add a point and a half. So there you go. There's your week two betting advice. And now that the Dr. Bob week four arc betting advice doesn't apply anymore, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from the airport. Previously, we thought he would be here at the desk, but Michael Somich knows a lot of things. Reading a clock, not among his strengths. He is the co-host of The Handle with Matt Brown here on the weekends. Somo bombing with Mike Somich. How you doing, Michael?
I am doing well, boys. I'm doing well sitting here at Harry Reid International. Thought my flight was an hour later than it was. So unfortunately, couldn't make it to the desk, but happy to join you guys. I think Fezzik takes an interesting one. I was on with Matt Brown yesterday. We talked extensively about the kickoffs. I do think it adds a point to a point and a half if we see these teams end up kicking off. If you go through and look at the average starting field position from last week's regular season or preseason games, it was past the 30-yard line. If you just kick it through the end zone, the team gets it at the 30-yard line. At some point, it feels like these teams are just going to look at the results of these kickoffs and decide, hey, we're fine with a touchback. We'll just kick it through the end zone.
Here is your co-host Matt Brown's tweet on it. Matt Brown, M2, VEASAN's own, our old primetime action co-host, Kelly's mine. I gathered the starting field positions after return kickoffs, no regular touchbacks included, from 8 of the preseason games yesterday, 48 kicks. Mean 31-yard line, median 30, minimum 14, max 80-yard line, meaning the opposing 20. The 80-yard line, as Matt calls it.
Who had the big return? I missed that one.
I missed that one, too. But there it is. And so, yeah, I mean, what do you think by week three, let's call it, Mike, they'll have this figured out for optimal strategy?
I would say week three, week four, we have optimal strategy. I would be surprised if week one, we don't see some teams be creative with how they kick the football, maybe a lower line drive that lands in the landing zone and rolls through the back of the end zone versus the higher kicks, because it's not like you need time for your guys covering the kick to run down there. They're in the exact same place, no matter what velocity you kick the football. So I think you're going to see some adjustments week one and week two. And after that, I think people are just going to realize, hey, let's just give it to them at the 30. If we land the ball in front of the landing zone, it's the 40. And if they get a return, it's most likely the 30 or better. So why are we really messing around with this? We're not going to get the holding calls we used to. It doesn't make sense. The risk versus reward just doesn't make sense not to just give them a touchback.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing where I like picture Bill Belichick now without a job just screaming on his couch about like, oh, I would have done this perfectly. We were talking about the great starting quarterback performances. Again, small sample size. Some of them were just one drive's worth. But if you're the Minnesota Vikings, the Washington Commodores, the Chicago Bears, or the Denver Broncos, you got to be thrilled with what you saw with your first-round draft pick. Did any of this trigger an offensive rookie of the year bet for you?
It did, and I can't believe I'm about to say this. I'm kind of in on Bo Nix here.
Wow.
We always talk about it's you versus the market. I am higher on Bo Nix after watching that game yesterday than the market. Right now, 22-1 in the rookie of the year market. Look, any quarterback that's going to get 17 starts and look okay, he should be better than 22-1. A lot can happen when you're able to get that many reps. And then you look at this Denver team as a whole. You've got two competent running backs. You've got guys like Sutton. You've got guys like Mims, who's coming back from injury. You've got Troy Franklin, who could be an interesting slot guy that we know Nick has a connection with. You've got a team that's going to be down and need to throw the football. All of a sudden, you watch Bo Nix. He looked like he could handle an NFL snaps. Now, obviously, you got to pump the brakes. Second team against a bad secondary in the preseason. But if you're going to give me 17 starts, I'll take a shot at 22-1 for rookie of the year.
Mike, I was saying this earlier on the show. I completely agree. Like, if you said you were betting J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix at those current numbers, 20 and 22-1 respectively, I can't argue with you. We were showing 18-1 and 20-1 respectively. Pardon me. I cannot argue with, right? Because there is the scenario where you're going to get all the chance in the world to win this. So I get it. And I'm one who there was not one moment of watching Bo Nix in college where I was like, oh, this guy's going to be a great pro. Not one. But you see something yesterday, you're like, okay, well, I'll take it at that number.
Yeah, I was completely out on Bo Nix. I did not think it was a good use of draft capital to take him at 12. I still don't necessarily think it's a great use of draft capital to take him at 12. But you saw a lot of the pieces of the Oregon offense come through in this Denver offense. It feels like Sean Payton had an idea of how to play to the strength of Bo Nix. when he was setting up specifically the offense for Denver. And if that's the case, and if he does get those starts, it's hard to not like him. I thought J.J. McCarthy played very well yesterday as well. I'll be interested to see what happens when he gets reps against ones versus the threes that he was playing when we got all those highlights from him. But I was positively impressed with J.J. McCarthy, too. Not enough, because I don't think he's going to start the season, to be able to get a Rookie of the Year ticket in. And that early schedule for the Vikings is also absolutely brutal from a defensive perspective.
All right, let's go to baseball. You have a couple baseball plays today. Both are first fives. What do you got?
I do. Give me the Astros first five here. This is a play against Taj Bradley, which I'm surprised I'm saying. He's starting for the Rays today, and he has been solid at home as a 2 ERA there, but the last two games he has really struggled, and this is an Astros team that started to really hit the ball. Low total, just 7.5 in the game. I want to focus on the starting pitchers here. I took the Astros minus 130 first half. Then the second game, Rangers versus Red Sox. I want to take the over first five here, sitting at 4.5. If you look at Bello, who's on the mound for the Red Sox, he's given up two or more earned runs in every single start except for one since April 19th. He's had multiple starts where he's given up 5-6 earned runs, and you've got two teams that can hit the baseball in good conditions today. So I'll take first five over Rangers, Red Sox, and Astros first five minus 130.
Okay. I asked this of Mark Borchardt earlier. I want to ask this of you. Obviously, it's a free-for-all in terms of getting in as wild cards. In the American League and the National League, not so much. American League, actually, it's a little more clear, but it's still a free-for-all. We still have more than a quarter of the season to go. NL is a complete scrum. I asked this of Borchardt, I'll ask of you, which is which team, and let's throw out Yankees, Dodgers, Phillies, and Brewers. Let's take out the division winners. Let's just talk potential wild card teams right now. Which team, if they got in, are they? Which is the proverbial no team wants to play them in a best of three or best of five?
Man, it feels like the Astros, doesn't it? Like, if you get Kyle Tucker back and he's healthy, and then you have this pitching staff where you do have two, three, four guys that are able to go out there and start and give you quality starts, you've got a team that's done it before. I would want to say Mariners, but I don't believe in the bats enough there. So I'm going to go with the Astros as the team no one wants to play.
All right, because they are still atop a division. I will ask you for a non-division leader. Who would you answer?
I'm going to go with the Padres. Okay. The Padres have been playing very good baseball recently. They struggled early in the season, but they've seemed to be able to turn around. They're hitting the ball well. They seem like they're like to go to the ballpark right now. And that NL is a mess. I mean, with what you're seeing from the Dodgers, what you're seeing from the Braves, I'm not all that enthusiastic about some of the teams at the top. I think the Phillies look very good. But outside of that, I don't love everything in the NL. So I think the Padres have a shot of coming out of there if they get a wild card. I don't think people want to play them.
All right, Mike. Mike, you going to the West Coast? Is that where you're flying to?
Yeah, I'm flying. Quick little flight over to Santa Barbara.
All right. What is it? How long does that flight take? 35 minutes total?
It's about 45 minutes in the air.
All right. Good luck. Fly safely, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good one. Good luck with your bets.
Mike Somich, not able to be here, Kelly, nonetheless gets to us from the airport. Very kind of him, Mike Somich.
That's right.
You busy working hard over there? You okay?
Yeah, I'm trying to make one or two of these preseason bets.
What do you do?
Fezzik's moving everything over here.
He is. He's very excitable about things like this, and so he wants to let everybody know it's him doing it.
I think I'm going to lay the points with the Broncos this week playing the Packers, and that one is moving, so I'm going to bet that right now.
By the way, it also occurs to me as we're talking about Bo Nix here that this is a great time capsule show to see how ridiculous this take might be. Right? Like the fact that people, after one, I'm not just saying Mike is ridiculous. I'm talking about, like, we have said, those four small sample size performances, but all four of those quarterbacks, right? McCarthy, Nix, Daniels, and Williams. So great. But, like, which of these is going to be the most ridiculous come week 12?
Or maybe 13? Nix is amazing and me and you just look like clowns from the whole season.
Well, no, but I'm the first person to say, if you want to bet it at that price right now, I totally get it. But one of these things is going to be ridiculous. Not that we have takes, right? But it'll be interesting. We'll come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Contest season, baby. Need a contest proxy? Talk to the experienced team at Winner's Circle Proxy, VEASAN's preferred proxy partner. You can join the Circa Survivor and Circa Million contest featuring $16 million in guaranteed cash prizes with only one trip to Las Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winner's Circle Proxy is now in its ninth year providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including the 2023 Survivor and Million contest winners, so maybe they're good luck as well. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's Ultimate Contest Weekend. That's August 22nd to 24th. It's packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winner's Circle Proxy clients will get special perks like monthly access to Visa Pro, stadium swim passes, free drink tickets, and cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to winnerscircleproxy.com now and book your appointment. Again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com, Visa's preferred proxy partner. Remember that that documentary on Survivor that everybody was doing last year? Or Steven?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that? Is that some Biggie right there?
Oh, it sure is. Sure is. And then Biggie goes up by herself.
Can you name the sample?
No.
Oh, see, they're your kids with the inability to name the sample.
Yeah,
the bass line right there? Herb Alpert, Rise.
Sure.
Instrumental jam. That right there.
Worked with Herb once.
Did you? Yeah. Did you? I met Herb. Met Herb Alpert, didn't meet Biggie.
You always got to be careful with herbs. You don't know if they, how hard on the H you're supposed to go. You know, some of them are more softer, more like an herb.
Herb.
Yeah.
Like peaches and herb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a tricky
herbs
name.
And rye.
You don't run into many herbs.
You don't know whether to call them Herbert, Herbie, or Herb kind of thing as well.
Herbie, I feel like. Would
didn't meet Biggie, met Tupac. You know, Tupac once called me brave. Do you want to know the context?
Yes, please.
Was at the 1990. I was at Howard University Hip Hop Conference, and I was spending the day with Chubb Rock. This is a true story.
It's already the best story ever.
Spending the whole day with Chubb Rock. Chubb Rock was a one-hit wonder. He had a song called "Treat 'Em Right."
Where were you working at the time?
Channel 9 in DC, the CBS affiliate in DC.
Okay.
I was a young kid, and Tupac made the. He decided to make a calculus in his head about. My pigmentation and the place that we were, and he said, "Oh, you're brave." I was like, "What?" That's my entire interaction with Tupac Shakur. There it is.
Bro, memory Tupac. Lane.
By the way, big news when you were gone, the McDonald's at the D is going away.
Oh, I know. I mean, I knew about it.
We knew about it. We just didn't know when.
Yeah.
Derek Stevens, who sits in his office for 10 hours a day plotting the demise of McDonald's, and he finally succeeded. It's gone in 2 weeks.
When's the official date? The crew's got to go.
August 25th, I believe, is the official goodbye date. Wait, what's that? 13, 14, 15, 16? Oh, maybe the 23rd.
I'm here on the 25th.
Oh, 25th. Okay, so 25th. Not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday. That's it. It's over. Kelly, I refuse to work at the D anymore if there's no, there's no McDonald's.
The crew might storm out too, man.
That's it. That's it.
Has to be the most regular business they get is from the VEASAN, you and the crew for sure.
Me and the crew.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say the VEASAN crew, but I can't leave you out.
Me and the crew used to eat McDonald's.
You should be doing a hash brown commercial for McDonald's.
I should.
I really don't know how they're not a sponsor of the show specifically for the hash browns.
We talked about something earlier. By the way, can you work on that endorsement for me? Get me McDonald's endorsement.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. We'll do that. Crown Royal whiskey.
What?
Prime energy drink. I'm just thinking of products we truly believe in.
Oh, okay.
We truly believe in.
And by we, figure out who likes which.
Yeah, you like the hash browns, I like the whiskey.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mentioned in passing when we were talking earlier on the show about the ridiculous Matt Kuchar behavior, which, by the way, again, there's no justification for whatsoever, but specifically that Max Greisserman gacked this tournament, right? Up four strokes with five holes to play. And I mentioned that in the Matt Kuchar situation, there was no reason for his behavior. First of all, he hit into the group in front of him on 18. So all of his explanations afterward were stupid as to why he decided he didn't want to finish the tournament yesterday. And the main thing is you could justify it from a monetary way, even though he makes a bajillion dollars and $70,000 here or there shouldn't matter to him. So that was flimsy too. But what it really didn't matter to him on his FedEx Cup playoff points, because he's not getting in the top 70. This is a betting vehicle that if keen numbers game listeners over the years have paid attention to, I have enjoyed betting very much. Now, I know like you and Wes and Matt, this is not necessarily your go-to because it's a three-tournament arc.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the top 70 into the St. Jude. Then it's the top 50, is it, into the BMW?
Yeah, 50 and then 30 for the Tour Championship.
And then 30 for the Tour Championship. And it's cool because and it's not widespread, but you have to figure out there's going to be tournament odds,
yes,
right, for the Saints.
This is very important, yes.
And then there's going to be to win the FedEx Cup odds.
Correct.
Which is a three-tournament arc. Now, we still do the staggered thing at the end as well in the championship?
Yes, so the Tour Championship will have starting strokes. So where you go into the tournament, that's based off where your points are after the BMW. So
Scottie Scheffler and Xander Schauffele are going to get a head start into the final tournament no matter what. One would think, unless something crazy happens.
The one thing to keep in mind, though, is that, like, these FedEx Cup points get big time in these playoffs. Well, so, like, kind of where the standings are right now, they could shit.
28 spaces, I believe.
Yeah, that you weren't even in the playoffs. For whatever reason, they overvalue these playoff events too much.
Right.
So, where I was going to, like, I think that market you're talking about, I'm interested to see how many books posted, because when I was looking around last night and this morning, it wasn't up, like, anywhere. There's only one place in town that has it up.
One place
Westgate has it up. They have it up every single year.
Good for the Westgate.
I will give them credit. They have it up every year.
Good for them for having it. I only say good things about the Westgate.
I know that.
That's great that somebody has it up, because that has always been the struggle. I don't think you're the golf guy, so you know better than me. I don't think golf has done a good job. I don't think this is a controversial take of promoting this format. And I actually love it for betting purposes, because anything that requires you to think of two different things at the same time is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so they don't do a good job. And therefore, I don't think betting shops have really been hip to it in past years. Maybe now they will be.
It's I think you're when it comes to the betting, you're absolutely right. I just think that there's golf wants to figure out some way to end the season with a playoffs, and there's just it. Look, the first two events are awesome, but then you hit the Tour Championship, and it's
weird.
And it's weird, and it's always been weird, because even before they did the staggered, when you'd have one guy win the tournament, other guy win the FedEx Cup, and you're like, well, this is silly.
That's the real confusing part. When you get to the final tournament, then that's that, right? It's like, okay, wait, are we betting FedEx Cup, or are we betting this tournament?
No, so that one's done now, right? Because they're going to be staggered based off of where they're at in the points. So whoever wins that tournament wins it all.
Wait, but they start the final tournament with staggered.
Correct.
Right, but then what I'm saying
Scottie Scheffler could have a 10-shot lead.
No, but there's a betting market that also says low for that event.
Oh, correct. Yes, yes.
It gets super confusing. Right.
There will be a 72-hole market for the Tour Championship.
Yeah, so you got to keep all those things in mind while this is happening. But yet, here before the three tournaments begin, it's kind of cool. By the way, for the FedEx St. Jude Championship specifically, Scottie Scheffler plus 350. Xander 7-1, Rory plus 850, everybody else double digits, beginning with Morikawa at 14-1. Did you bet anything on this yet?
I have not yet. I mean, look, Morikawa, I've basically been betting every single week. I expected him to kind of be at this same number, so I probably will. The one I always bet for that FedEx Cup market, it is, I mean, if you're betting an outright this week, you should be betting at least some in that in the FedEx Cup market as well, because your guy is going to, if they win this week, he is launching to the top or near the top of the FedEx Cup standings. So unless it's someone like I'm looking at, like Scheffler's minus 110 to win the FedEx Cups, probably, you know, that probably makes sense with him at plus 350 for this tournament. Xander's plus 250 over at Westgate. Now you get down to more kind of numbers where they're at for the tournament. Rory's plus 750. So if you're going to bet him plus 850 to win this tournament, might as well sprinkle in the FedEx Cup market for him at plus 750 too, because you're going to have a big advantage then going into the final 2 weeks. So Morikawa, I'm looking at 16-1 in that. If I play him this week, basically anybody I play this week where I'm going to find a similar number in the FedEx Cup market, I will be adding that as well.
Besides the Westgate, have you seen it anywhere?
I have not seen it anywhere else. Anywhere else. And I don't, like, East Coast, I don't know if I remember how many were posted.
But the thing is, DraftKings, say what you will, DraftKings is good about having different markets and lots of stuff. The fact that they don't have this up is always odd to me. They don't have this up.
Yeah, I searched around this morning. I was shocked. I couldn't find. I went FanDuel, DraftKings, MGM. Nobody had it up yet.
Boy, it's nice to be able to say FanDuel out loud, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, right? I'm going to check again.
RIP, Advocate Skirmish.
Yeah, RIP. They might just be taking time to. Like, again, credit to the Westgate. They do this every single year.
Yes.
And, like, I think the pricing, you know, for Jeff Sherman and company, they're way easier to have this stuff ready to go. I don't know. These other books might not be as used to it. They might want to give it a day or two to see where the betting comes in for the St. Jude, and then adjust prices.
As far as, you know, right before college football and the NFL regular season begin, if you're looking for, like, cool August betting things, if you missed out on the August MLB season wins, this is kind of a cool arc before football.
Especially since the Little League World Series, man. That's like, it's just taunting. Like, every time, it's like, all right, it's time for football. Like, get these kids off the field.
Football. And by the way, I'll just say it again. Tennis has the decency to get out of the way right when football starts. The most decent sport there is. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.